You're listening to the Asheville FM News Hour on 103.3 FM WSFM LP. This is News Team correspondent Andrew Rainey. Following an action in Nashville, Tennessee on July 22nd, where community members created safe passage for two individuals targeted for detention by Immigration Customs Enforcement, we'll be speaking with Lisa Sherman-Nicholas, the policy director of TURC, the Tennessee Immigrant and Refugee Rights Coalition, for some context and conversation around the impact of the actions in Tennessee and how that might apply to our own scenario in Asheville. Lisa, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
I wonder, first of all, if you could give a brief introduction of what TURC is.
Yeah, well, the Tennessee Immigrant and Refugee Rights Coalition is a grassroots immigrant and refugee-led organization that's been around going on 16 years now. We work statewide, and we work at the local, state, and federal level to defend the rights of immigrants and refugees and to pass policies that create opportunities for all our communities to succeed.
Thinking about this recent event, I wonder, you know, Nashville, whose municipalities include just under 700,000 people, is a pretty different scene than ours here in Buncombe County. I wonder if you could describe some of the current dynamics with Immigration Customs Enforcement, their presence and activity in that area.
Yeah, well, what we have here in Nashville, unfortunately, is that our jail has a contract with ICE. It's called the ICSA contract, the Intergovernmental Service Agreement. And the way that contract works is that it allows our jail to function as an immigration detention facility. And so ICE is able to conduct arrests around town, raids, those things, or the jail is able to quickly transfer people from local custody into ICE custody. So it really is deeply entangling our local criminal justice system with federal immigration enforcement.
So how does that play out with local police and with the political scenario? Like, do police work on behalf of ICE, for example?
No, so the way the contract works is it doesn't give any local authorities the same authority as federal immigration agents, but it does serve to just entangle both of those systems and really cause confusion in the immigrant community about who is protecting who. And so when you have this kind of entanglement, it makes it really hard for immigrant residents to feel trust in our local government agencies. And so while our police claim to not act as immigration authorities or to not help immigration authorities, what we learned from the Hermitage incident was the need for really clear policies that outline what to do when ICE calls.
And so speaking of that incident in the Hermitage, which is a section of Nashville, back on July 22nd, we heard via a live stream video that a father and son who were that ICE attempted to detain, that was stopped by supportive persons seeking to protect their neighbors.
Hi, here in Hermitage right now. I'm going to show you what we're doing here right now. These are a couple of ICE officers currently in Nashville. They've identified themselves as Immigration Customs Enforcement, but they have not said so far their names or what office they're from. Is it possible to say?
You can go talk to the attorney or the immigrant rights group. They already know who we are. We're not going to identify ourselves to the public out here. We don't need to identify ourselves, okay? You can go talk.
I understand. People are wondering, though. You came and you're trying to detain people. People are scared and trying to understand who you are and why you're here. Okay. Okay.
You're. I don't have to answer questions to you.
You're from ICE, though.
I already told you that.
From removal operations.
You're welcome to go talk to the attorney. Yeah. They don't bother nobody, and this is illegal.
Yeah, I'm gonna get this plate here.
Okay.
This is the truck that people say has been driving around the neighborhood for like a week or two now, posting up, like hunting people. As you can see, it's a Tennessee Davidson County plate, unmarked, not as ICE, not as police. But so this is the truck that the ICE officer came in. There's another one over here. We have a friendly city councilman over here that showed up. Thanks for coming. Hey, officer, can I say hi again?
So just to be real clear, because I know a lot of people are going to have this question, are, you know, y'all are here kind of for what purpose right now?
If it gets out of hand.
Okay.
There's too many people that bum rush the car. We're not here to enforce any federal script or whatever they got in their hand. We are just here if any criminal, anything major.
But as far as y'all know, like, there's no, like, threat to public safety. There's no, like, the person here, y'all are not looking for them.
Nope.
There is no, to y'all's knowledge, no reason why they would be in trouble with the law here in Nashville for any local law enforcement reason. Okay.
That's some audio from Tristan Call, who live streamed that event in Nashville. As you can hear, he's going around capturing the license plate of ICE vehicles and talking with the ICE agents, as well as a local city council member who showed up, and to the local police who were called by ICE. I wonder if you could describe that scenario a little further and how that played out.
Right. Well, what happened on that day was we actually have a really active and vibrant ethnic media news channels. And so one of the local reporters who we work with from Nashville Noticias, who does a lot of live streaming on Facebook, had a call from the family and saying that ICE was outside of their home. The father and his stepson were both in the car when ICE agents showed up and were trying to coerce him out of the car. So what we know from having staff on the ground is that ICE threatened the father that if he did not cooperate, that he would call the police and have him arrested and pick him up in jail. MMPD, our local police, got a phone call from ICE requesting for assistance, for backup. And they arrived on the scene before there was a crowd that was gathered. While they made it clear that they couldn't force the man out of his car and that they weren't there to help ICE, just the fact that they responded to an unspecified request from ICE and then their presence was used by ICE to try and harass and terrorize this family is deeply troubling. Luckily, there were some neighbors who swung into action and who created a scene outside of the home and created the conditions in which the father was able to exercise his right, and eventually ICE gave up and left.
And so with that neighborhood response, I can imagine that being a fairly, you know, neighbors who are seeing both a federal agency and local police active might be hesitant to act at that moment. I wonder if you could describe kind of what's been learned about that kind of community response and that effectiveness in community.
Yeah, I think for us, the two things that we learned, one is the importance for people to know their rights. In this moment, immigrants and their allies should really understand what their rights are, what the authority of ICE is, and what kind of documentation they need. So in this scenario, ICE did not have a criminal warrant that allowed them to enter the home or the car since it was parked on private property. And then the second is the importance. I mean, what we learned was that Nashvillians really don't want to see their communities ripped apart, and they really want to make sure that families that live in their neighborhoods are able to stick together. And so it's really important that, you know, all of us really understand the role of ICE and what we can do in those kinds of scenarios. And this community was just such a beautiful example of that happening in practice.
In Nashville, are there rapid response protocols in place, kind of a hotline number where people can get support?
Yes, TURC has a statewide hotline number that we receive calls from communities across the state with different kinds of emergencies or needs, whether it's, you know, to report ICE activity or to get a legal referral or to know how to access local services. Or to get Know Your Rights information. We have a hotline that everybody can access.
In this case, a lot of neighbors came out. I wonder, for people who maybe have documentation, I wonder if you could talk some about rights that just documented neighbors might have in interacting with ICE in that kind of scenario.
Right. Well, ICE really has no authority to enforce state or local laws. And so what was interesting about this event was the fact that the local police officer, you know, thought that ICE could arrest this man for driving without a license. But that's incorrect. He cannot do that. And, you know, we had to educate the police officer on that. And, you know, people who have documentation are much more protected, right? Because ICE's job is to enforce civil immigration laws. And so just by being there, by being present, obviously, you know, trying not to escalate the situation and making it clear to ICE that you are not a threat, that you are not going to be taking any kind of violent action, but just being present and ensuring that people understand their rights. So what we often tell folks is if you do come across someone who is being arrested by ICE or ICE is outside of their home, to shout out people's rights and let them know what they are.
So in North Carolina, ICE has responded to local organizing, particularly last year in electing sheriffs who would not work alongside ICE by pushing a House bill, House Bill 370, which would force all law enforcement to collaborate with ICE. It really felt like a kind of a, you know, reaction to that, those local measures being drawn. Has ICE responded in Nashville, Davidson County, or Tennessee at large?
ICE has not taken any kind of retaliatory action that I'm aware of, but what we do have is a state legislature that really wants to see local resources invested in civil federal immigration enforcement. And so last year, our state passed one of the country's most extreme anti-sanctuary city bills that tries to force localities to cooperate. But what a lot of folks fail to understand is that that's your local taxpayer dollars and resources going at work to do the work of the federal government in enforcing civil immigration laws when they have much better things to do. than that, right? Our communities have a lot of needs outside of that, and there are better ways for law enforcement to function than in trying to break up families and take immigrant community members who are deeply rooted in our neighborhoods from our communities.
As ICE employs different tactics around the country, for example, in this past year we saw locally here in Asheville, North Carolina, using vans that resembled sort of worker vehicles, going through neighborhoods where undocumented folks were thought to be, I guess, by those ICE agents. I wonder if Turk has been in contact or in collaboration with other organizing groups across the Southeast or in the country.
Yeah, right now, as a matter of fact, we're getting ready to send a team to Mississippi to respond to the incredibly disturbing large-scale worksite raids in Mississippi. And we work with groups like CERN and others across the Southeast. We also created a toolkit alongside the National Immigration Law Center to prepare communities for how to respond to massive ICE raids, like the one we saw in Morristown, Tennessee, which is just on the other side of Asheville. So we've been, you know, we learned a lot from that experience in Morristown, and we tried to put those lessons in a toolkit that really helps people be prepared and respond to that kind of action in their own communities.
One of those pieces being really knowing rights. What are some of the other elements that you
making sure that you have a robust system for legal referrals, that you are able to identify the people who are being held, get their A numbers, get attorneys in there to look at their case and what's going on, organizing faith communities. So that was one of the first things that happened in Morristown, was the faith communities really organized in solidarity and support of the families there, mobilizing educators in Morristown. Again, you know, more than 500 kids missed school the very next day after ICE raided a meatpacking plant and detained 94 people. And it was really sort of that organizing work of different sectors and communities that helped raise the profile of the case and really create a sense of urgency and moral outcry from the community.
Well, it's certainly an amazing thing for us here in Asheville to see a group of community members create a human chain to protect a father and son, and to prevent that ICE detention. Thank you so much, Lisa, for sharing some about Turk and some lessons of that experience with us here in Asheville.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Local community members provided food and water to the father and son as they were in their vehicle, and later formed a human chain so that they could safely arrive into their home. Listeners interested in learning more about local immigrant rights groups here in Buncombe County, Western North Carolina, can find more information with our local organization CIMA, Compañeros Inmigrantes de las Montañas en Acción. We have a hotline number available for this, for suspected ICE activity. It is 1-888-839-2839. CIMA has lots of resources about knowing your rights and more. You can find that on their Facebook or online at their website.